Of Galatians chapter 5. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit to the yoke of slavery. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour each other, take care that you are not consumed by each other. Live in the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For those are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I am warning you, as I have warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Holy God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When I was younger, my father would tell me quite frequently that he thought I would make a good lawyer because I loved to argue just for the sake of arguing. Now, I did not grow up to become a lawyer, but that young girl who likes to argue still lives inside of me. I am known to play the devil's advocate, or if someone says something with great conviction, something inside of me wants to question it just because. This is not a character trait I am particularly fond of. However, as I've gotten older, I have learned to control myself and use my desire for different opinions for good, not strife, most of the time. I realize that just because I was free to argue did not mean that it was the best thing to do all the time. We often hear about arguments, displaced people, broken relationship, violence that erupt, and often the root of these encounters is freedom. Freedom to wear certain clothes, freedom to go to a particular nightclub, freedom to dislike or defend people of a certain race or orientation, freedom to say whatever comes to mind with no filter. Freedom is at the root of Paul's message to the church in Galatia. It appears that issues with freedom were just as central to people then as they are now. They were arguing about the freedom to be circumcised, among some other things. And Paul calls them and us to task on what the understanding of freedom actually looks like. When we think of freedom, we are probably prone to think of how the dictionary might define it: the power or right to act, speak, or think as anyone wants without hindrance or restraint, absence of subjugation to foreign domination, the state of not being imprisoned or enslaved, the state of being physically unrestricted and able to move, the state of not being subject to or affected by a particular undesirable thing, the power of self-determination attributed to the will, the quality of being independent of fate or necessity. Paul, however, tells us that freedom in the faithful lives of Christ followers means something very different. Freedom in Christ is not being able to do anything we want, whenever we want. It does not mean living an undisciplined life. Instead, freedom in Christ means freedom, the freedom we have from the bondage of sin, actually means being bonded to each other. You are called in freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love, become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour each other, take care you are not consumed by each other. Paul is espousing something rather radical, although not foreign. Neighbor love is a current that runs through both the Old and New Testament. Laws in Leviticus demand neighbor love, and Jesus himself tells us that love of neighbor is second only to love of God. Now, Paul is not calling people to lose themselves, to sacrifice all their needs in this call to love the neighbor. Paul's vision of neighbor love recognizes that people do and ought to value themselves. You would not want someone else to bite and devour you, so don't do it to them. Ah, the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It seems perhaps that we have forgotten the golden rule in our world today. We live in a world of 24-hour news, blogs, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, hashtags, texting, an instant information world, a world where it is easier than ever to blurt something out in response without thinking it through, and the potential for millions to hear it or read it is there. We might even go viral. We don't take time to think about how it might feel if the same thing was said about us. 2 weeks ago, a tragedy occurred for a family. While on vacation in Orlando, their son was attacked and killed by an alligator while playing in a lake. Instead of an outpouring of love and empathy and grief for something that is just unimaginable, the world blasted and blamed these parents. Their ability to effectively parent was called into question because while on vacation, they allowed their son to enjoy himself. In a time of horrible grief, they were enduring the burden of being bitten and devoured by their community. That's just one example of how our culture makes it easier than ever to ignore neighbor love. I am sure we have all experienced being bitten and devoured by someone, probably in less tragic circumstances. It can feel oppressive, this bondage to evil. No matter where we turn, it feels like instead of hands being offered in love, claws are being extended, ready to scratch and maim. And not only to us, but by us. Despite ourselves, we are sometimes the ones to bite and devour someone else. Paul is reminding us that no matter how it seems and feels, we are no longer in bondage to the evil of sin in this world. We have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of community, the gift of each other, to find our way in this world, to learn how to love and bring the kingdom of God here now. So instead of devouring each other, we can feed one another the fruits of the Spirit out of the community garden of our faith. Community. This is the thing that leads us into temptation to judge and be judged. And it is also the exquisite blessing that God has given us. Adam was given Eve because it was not good for man to be alone. And throughout the rest of Scripture, we see people finding community in order to know and understand God better. Abraham had Sarah, David had Jonathan, Ruth had Naomi, Esther had Mordecai, the disciples had each other, and the list goes on and on. It is through the experience of community that people are able to see the image of God in each other and thus reflected back in themselves. We are not to fear the other, but instead understand that the other is the grace God has given us to bear this life together. Human depravity has always compelled us to push people away, to be tempted to hate and injure. Perhaps we're scared of differences. Perhaps we're afraid of what we will see in ourselves reflected back to us and what that says about how we live. Perhaps we're lazy. Perhaps we don't like change. Whatever the reason, we have taken desire, which in and of itself is not evil, and twisted it to self-centered living, or as Paul calls it, the flesh, which wants the wrong things, or wants good things the wrong way, usually too much or too little. Wanting sexual intimacy, it pursues fornication. Wanting contact with the divine, it pursues idols. Wanting joy, it carouses. When we allow ourselves to live in disordered, self-centered ways, when we are free to do whatever we want, we are enslaved to our passions and destroy community. So how do we fix this? Is it all lost? Are we destined to live as selfish creatures who are free without really ever tasting freedom? Do we have to reject all our desires because surrendering to them leads to selfishness? No. Rather, because of the great gift of Jesus' death on the cross and the sending of the Holy Spirit, we can desire properly. We can experience the fruits of the Spirit, which are more than just the benefit that happens when the Spirit guides us. When we are choosing to taste the fruits of the Spirit, when we choose love instead of hate, joy instead of anger, peace instead of violence, kindness instead of judgment, we allow the Spirit to shape us into people who want to consume more and more fruit. This Christian life does not simply happen to us. We must actively participate. We must walk by the Spirit, putting ourselves in bondage to Christ so that we may find ourselves free to radically love our neighbors. We are to welcome the other in every instance, the other in our family who is hard to love, the other neighbor or coworker who is just so very different from us, the other of a different religion, political background, skin color, or social class, because we were once the other, the outcast, the enemy of God who was welcomed and loved and died for. We must remember that any Christian move towards the other is based upon Jesus Christ's move towards us. We were reconciled to God through the death of his Son while we were still enemies. This is Christian freedom. This is Christian love. This is the Christian life. I recently heard from a friend about a Bible study she had been attending. They were learning about other faiths and took a field trip to a local mosque. A mix-up on times meant that the committee there to give them the tour was not there yet, but there was a women's Bible study going on. So the women's Bible study from the Methodist church ended up talking with the women's study group from the mosque. They talked and talked and learned that these women cared about the same things, worried about the same things, had the same concerns for the future and their families as they did. They learned more about Muslim faith and practices through those conversations than during their official tour. They created relationships, and now that group of Muslim women has visited the Methodist Church Bible study. They looked the other in the eye and loved those women as they loved themselves. They took a chance and followed the leading of the Spirit. And friends, we live in a world that gives us chances every moment of the day to practice this freedom. Chances to radically love another person as ourselves and taste the sweet fruit of the Spirit. So start eating now. Increase your active participation in the life of the Spirit. Submit yourself more fully to Christ and this community. Discover in yourself a hunger for the fruit of the Spirit. Taste and eat and enjoy the freedom found in the love of God in Jesus Christ. Amen.